News and talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN 907. It is time for the Lawrence Business Magazine show, and let's bring in your host today. That is Mark Kern.
Well, thank you, John. Again, my name is Mark Kern with the Lawrence Business Magazine. Also with me is Derek Helms, one of our founding writers of the Lawrence Business Magazine. And this morning, our guests are Bob Sanner with the Lawrence Athletic Corporation, Executive Director of the Tour of Lawrence. And along with him is Adam Mills, an elite cyclist competing this weekend in the Tour of Lawrence. Welcome.
Thank you. I might add, Adam is also a board member of the Lawrence Sports Corporation. So,
oh, very good.
Yeah, so he's very involved in what we do in the community.
Well, great. I appreciate you guys coming and, you know, getting ready to bear the heat for a great event this weekend. Bob, let's jump in and start with you. Why don't you give me a little history on the Tour of Lawrence and background and goals of yourself and what you're trying to accomplish?
What we're trying to accomplish, or the background of the tour, is, I'd say about 7-8 years ago, Lawrence was fortunate to host the USA Cycling Collegiate Road National Championships for 3 years. So that was my first exposure to road racing, and I was really taken with the dedication that the young collegiates were making to the sport. For the most part, they were coming on their own dime, and it was just for the passion and love of the sport. And then 5 years ago, as a CVB, Convention Visitors Bureau, we were looking to create an event over the 4th of July weekend, primarily because it's a pretty slow time for the community. It seems that most people are leaving town to go to the lake or to travel elsewhere. So we said, why not try to create something that will bring people to Lawrence? And with our background with cycling and a great supporting cast that we have locally with cyclists such as Adam Mills and Dan Hughes and the Lawrence Bicycle Club, we put our heads together and said, what are the elements of a successful event? And thus the Tour of Lawrence was born, and we created a 3-day event. Sprints on Friday, the campus race on Saturday, which is for those hill climbers, and then we go back downtown on Sunday for the crit for the races. So we think we have something for everyone. If you're a sprinter, you know, we got the Friday's race. If you're a hill climber, Saturday's a perfect fit for you. And if you're a racer, we got the criterium. So that's the background of the Tour of Lawrence.
Well, that's great. Yeah, and this is this will be the fourth year?
Correct.
Adam, tell me a little bit about yourself and your involvement. And Bob had mentioned that you're on the board and your background in cycling.
Right. So my background in cycling has been a storied past. I've been racing at the elite level for around 10 years now. I currently manage the Mercy Cycling Team. Out of Fort Smith, Arkansas, sponsored by the Mercy Health Systems. And I'm the CEO of my own endurance coaching company called Source Endurance. Bob came to me and asked me to be on the board of directors as an advisory role, primarily to help act as a liaison between the riders and the race, and basically to discuss and to implement kind of what the riders enjoy about the races and how to make the race run more smoothly for the riders. And so that's mostly my role with the race.
It's more than that, but we'll get into that later.
Okay. Bob, tell me, how's the race grown, you know, over the years here to year four, from where you started and where you're at to date?
Well, historically, I want to say year one, we might have had maybe 300, 325 entries or riders. Last year, I think we ended up with about 667 unique riders. This year, our goal was 700, but if anyone has spent any time outside lately, the heat may keep some people home. Yesterday morning, I checked the online entry. I think we were approaching 400. This is a type of sport that we have a lot of walk-ups. So I, you know, historically we've had anywhere from 125 to 150 people show up either on Friday, Saturday, Sunday to race. So I hope that trend continues. So we're, again, I have my fingers crossed that we'll come close to our target goal of 700. So it's, as Adam can talk about, but, any new event, it may take a cyclist 3 or 4 years just to figure out that you're on the race calendar, and they have a tendency to sit back and make sure that the group or the organizing committee have, you know, they know what they're doing, they have a good product, they support the riders and so on and so forth. So I think we've done that, and through word of mouth we have riders coming back and bringing a friend this time, or bringing more teammates, and so it's a slow building process. But I'm pleased with the direction that we're going.
And when you say walk-ups, we're not just talking Lawrence. You know, how many different states? Do you pull from with riders?
Well, last year we pulled from 16 different states, and we might have had one or two from a state, but. But overall, I mean, if you're talking about the geographic distribution, I think it's safe to say that we're a very strong regional event. We pull us all the way down, pull from Texas, we pull from Colorado. We've brought in riders from Kentucky and Indiana. We have a team from Chicago that's been coming down every year called the Spider Monkeys. They love coming down. So we've had riders from Minnesota. So basically, I our drive market, you might say, is 600 miles.
Okay.
So if you do a circle around Lawrence, that's probably where we're pulling from.
Adam, what do we expect for this weekend? You know, and how do you, with the heat and as a cyclist, we were talking a little bit earlier about, really how to prepare. Tell me, how do you plan on dealing with, racing with the long track and dealing with the heat this weekend?
Right. So the name of the game with the heat this weekend is preparation and support. I know with Mercy Cycling, we have 3 to 4 people who are going to be in the feed zone handing up, fresh ice cold water bottles to the team every lap. So that's every 4 miles, brand new water bottle, ice cold, kind of keep the heat at bay, so to speak. At the elite level where we're racing, it's not going to slow the race down. It's just going to be more suffering. and that's the key at that elite level. And you see it in every race, whether it's the Tour de France or your local criteriums, is keeping cool and staying cool. And it takes a lot of water, a lot of ice. I think we're going to have 3 coolers just full of ice cubes just for the race, for Saturday. And in Sunday in the criterium, same thing, ice bottles, everybody's ready. Keeping cool is the name of the game.
Now, so you had mentioned a little bit with the heat and how much you sweat. How many liters, or what did you say that you would dump in an hour, or how did you measure that? And working with the hydration.
Right. So the circuit race is going to be 14 laps. So in theory, you could probably feed 12 laps. You get 12 water bottles. But you don't drink all the bottles. You drink some, you dump some on your head. You have to drink some, and you have to drink a lot because, as you mentioned, the sweat rates for elite athletes or for athletes in general will run around 2 liters an hour. That's those big, giant soda jugs per hour, which is, about in a 2-hour race, you're looking at maybe a gallon and a half or about 10 or 11 pounds of water. And that's a lot. That can put you into some serious health issues if you're not replenishing. So I would say there's and during the race, there's no amount of water you can drink that's too much.
Sure.
And can I jump in? Yeah, Adam was talking about the number of laps for the men's Pro 1-2 criterium race. I'm sorry, circuit race. There are different categories on both Saturday and Sunday. For example, the Adams group will ride 14 laps. But on the junior or category 5, which would be your novice or beginner, we're talking 2 or 3 laps. So don't So I don't want people to think that every category is riding 14 laps on Saturday. These guys who are riding the elite division have the training and the experience to go that distance. But a Cat 5 or a junior will ride anywhere from 2 to 3 laps. So, and then there the other categories may go 5 or 6 laps. So depending on your experience as a rider, the number of laps will determine, how many times you'll go around the course.
Bob, I know when we spoke, we were talking about bringing the cyclists into town, and your first real experience was with the collegiate championships. And when we spoke, we talked about how cyclists tend to be a bit of a unique breed of people. Dan Hughes said they have tree trunk legs and pipe cleaner arms, and they shave their legs, and they sweat a gallon an hour. He also said that they're some of the most dedicated people to their sport. Was that, with that in mind, was that one of your goals to bring people who you know are so dedicated into town, who you think might, if they race on Saturday afternoon, they're not going to show up Saturday morning and maybe stroll around the course. Maybe they'll come the day early, try to ride the course, and then they'll spend the night in a hotel, go out to eat. I mean, was that part of your motivation?
Well, you're spot on, because as I mentioned earlier, hosting or organizing the Collegiate Road Nationals, the passion that these riders had for the sports, and I talk about the other categories, being juniors, category 5, 4, 3, 2, these guys are not sponsored, so they're rolling into town on their own dime. So that's what I think is rewarding for me, is to see a group of riders out there that they're racing because it's their passion. We all have different passions. They're different passions, but these guys are willing to show up, and campus race is 60% uphill, and we're talking anywhere from 11 plus miles depending on the category, and they do it because they enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, to answer your question, that has a lot to do with it.
Is that why you decided to go with 3 days instead of saying, hey, let's do this on Saturday and see if people show up, and then the next year we'll go 2 days? Well, let's make it 3 days.
Well, we want this to be a destination event, and if riders are going to make a 600-mile commitment to drive to Lawrence, I mean, we want them to roll into town either today or no later than tomorrow, race for 3 days, spend the night, 2 or 3 nights, and then, once they've recovered, they can head home on Sunday night or Monday morning. Again, it's bringing people to town, putting them in hotel rooms, letting them enjoy the best that campus has to offer, downtown Lawrence, other restaurants, and so the community can benefit from this form of economic development. I mean, it's about total direct spending, and that's what part of the reason why we do what we do.
That's definitely the ultimate goal.
Ultimate goal is to provide a great race experience, and if we do that, the total direct spending will fall into place on its own.
When a cyclist travels, what's the percentage of how many people will they typically bring with them? Looking at a family event. Because I think, with your Friday, Saturday, with the kids race on Sunday, how does that work? Is it a family event, for those? Do they travel, bring the whole family up for the race? And
right, so family is a relative term. At the elite level, you have your, we'll use in quotes, family, which is your teammates for the week. So when an elite team rolls in the town, like the Mercy Cycling or the Tradewind Energy team, or like the Elbows Racing team, which are teams from other areas, they'll bring 5 or 6 people in, and these are all racers plus support people that are going to do hotels, they're going to eat out, they're going to take advantage of the city. At the masters level races or the beginners level races, you still have families, but it's probably more like the husband and wife and their child, and then maybe there's a couple families traveling together, so you still have groups of 5 or 6. It's just a different demographic of 5 or 6, and those those masters riders and beginners, even the regional riders, you know, they still, I think the demographics with cycling show that they still make a fair bit of money, similar to triathletes. And they still have that disposable income, which is another reason for trying to have the race and Tour of Lawrence and making it on a holiday weekend to start with. And now it's on its own as a standalone event.
And why don't you share with the audience how much a road bike costs?
So a road bike's cost is about the same as a car. You can get a good one for $4,000 or $5,000, or you can spend as much money as you want. The bikes you see in the Tour de France on TV are also the same bikes that a lot of people in the United States race at the elite level or whatever, and looking at $6,000 to $12,000, just depending on which bells and whistles and how crazy you want to get with it.
You know, I think that's one of the things people don't realize about cycling is how expensive of a sport you can make it. I mean, you could go down to Sunflower, buy a $500 bike and ride, but the guys who are really into it are spending, you know, some people's salary on a year on
Absolutely.
Bikes and crazy socks and special shorts and different types of shoes to clip into your pedals. And I mean, you can spend a lot of money on this sport.
Absolutely. The sky's the limit. And that's what the manufacturers like. And that's what the people spend. So why not?
Yeah. And not only with equipment, travel, hotel, you know, when you're traveling, expending, you're eating out, which is what we hope that happens.
It does happen, yeah. I mean, we send out surveys to all the riders, well, those who have email addresses, which is probably 80%. And we ask for comments. We find out where they stayed, what they liked about the race, what they liked about Lawrence. And these guys are pretty astute. They understand that and not all communities are bicycle friendly. So they go out of the way to share how much they spent, where they went, where the places that they enjoyed spending time, and so I mean just the testimonials from these riders tell me that what you just described is going on, is taking place.
You know, Bob, we're going to take our first break here. And after that, I want to talk a little bit about the manpower behind staffing and putting this all together. You know, Adam had said that this would probably be the last night that you sleep for the weekend. So when we come back with the Lawrence Business Magazine Show.
927, 1320 KLWN. Let's return to the Lawrence Business Magazine Show on KLWN. Once again, here's your host, Mark Kern.
Well, thank you, John. Our guest this morning, we have Bob Sanner with the he is the Director of Sports Markets for the Lawrence Convention and Visitors Bureau, and Adam Mills, an elite cyclist getting ready to compete in the Tour of Lawrence, and then also Derek Helms with the Lawrence Business Magazine as well. Good morning.
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 Hey, you know, we were talking off air a little bit about the difference between, you know, with the Director of Sports Markets, Bob, with in the Lawrence Convention and Visitors Bureau. Hey, tell me the difference in how, with the Visitors Bureau set up and the Athletic Corporation. Tell me the relationship there.
Well, the relationship with the Lawrence Sports Corporation is that we are, the Lawrence Sports Corporation is a nonprofit subsidiary of the Lawrence Convention and Visitors Bureau. So the Sports Corporation has a board, an advisory board. And we try to populate the board with individuals that have varied sports interests in the community, ranging from running to cycling to track and field, among others. And our mission is to promote Lawrence as a destination for sporting events, and that could come from us submitting bids to organizing bodies like AAU, USA Track and Field, USA Cycling, to bring regional or national championships to Lawrence, or it could be something as to work with local individuals on a grassroots effort to support their efforts to bring something to Lawrence. To what we're doing with the Tour of Lawrence is that that's a grassroots effort, but it's our child. It's mm-hmm. something that we've created, and we are pushing ahead and try to develop and grow into something that That wouldn't be on the maybe the magnitude of a Joe Martin in Arkansas or the Tulsa Tough down in Tulsa or some of these major cycling events that hundreds of riders flock to, if not thousands, on a yearly basis. That's our goal, not only for the Tour of Lawrence, but for the Sports Corporation and the Convention and Visitors Bureau.
You know, I'm staying with that. Tell me what are your plans and your visions with the new health center in West Lawrence? What kind of events can you and I'm sure with the press and everything that's going on right now that you're starting to pencil out and plan what this can provide for our community. Give me your thoughts.
Well, the Westside Sport Village is what we're currently calling it, and that's I feel a very exciting opportunity for not only for the community but for all the parties involved. Of course, nothing has been finalized, right. but I understand that everyone's moving in the right direction. And when you consider that you have, the Estrada, Stephen DeWayne, starting with the gift of the acreage to the Fritzels willing to do or wanting to build a project, to Kansas Athletics interested in placing their two outdoor, two of their outdoor sports, and City Parks and Rec building a what I would call a regional rec center, and what that means for the city is obviously increase local programming or access to more courts. But in my world, I'm thinking outside of Lawrence is. A facility of that size would allow us to host major indoor sporting events ranging from basketball to volleyball, and even open the door to sports that we really haven't gone after. I mean, the number of mat sports out there, be it gymnastics or wrestling, it allows us to market Lawrence on a year-round basis, because once summer rolls around, basketball is very popular. I mean, there are teams or parents or clubs, coaches that want to come to Lawrence year-round, and the winter season is great, but those type of tournaments are just Saturday and Sunday, so it may translate to one hotel night. But the summer season, now we're talking about multiple nights in Lawrence, because the summer tournaments are usually larger and longer, and again it goes back to the total direct spending or the economic development and impact that these type of sporting events has on a community.
Tell me,
Bob, sort of going off that, what are the types of things that Lawrence provides when you're going out and you're pitching Lawrence against Norman, Oklahoma, or Boulder, Colorado? Is it, hey, come have your basketball tournament, come have your wrestling meet here? What are the types of things you sell? What are the parts of Lawrence that you sell to attract business?
Well, what Lawrence has to offer is central location geographically. We're 45 minutes from KCI. It's easy. It's four lanes, mm-hmm. to and from. When we talk to individuals on the east and west coast. We talk in terms of minutes of drive time. We don't talk about miles, because you could be in Baltimore, Maryland, or Houston, Texas, and you may be 15 miles away, but that may translate to 45 minutes of drive time. So we make it quite clear in terms of minutes of getting around access. When it comes to basketball, I don't think I need to tell anyone about the rich history that the University of Kansas has. There are, teams and families want to come to Lawrence and to see where basketball is played. And at some point, the rules of basketball will be on display. So that will be another carrot, if you want to call it that. Not only can we see, go to the Booth Family Hall of Athletics and go through that museum, maybe get a peek inside of Allen Fieldhouse, but if you have the rules of basketball on display somewhere, who has that? Who can match that? And then the community itself. I've just had tremendous support from from the university, from the city, and supporting my efforts to bring events to Lawrence. And not all communities respond that way. I mean, there's the youth chair for AAU. Her name's Robin Brown Beeman. She's down in Florida, and she oversees the youth sports for AAU. And we're talking about 600 members of AAU, 16 different sports. So we were talking about the opportunities with a sports village on West Side. So it's not just basketball, and it's not just track and field, but it can be volleyball, it can be wrestling, it can be table tennis. It could be.
Sure.
Sky's
the limit.
Yeah, exactly. And I've had her in twice her site visit. She is very impressed with Lawrence because the city's ability to demonstrate that they have supported my efforts in other areas, and that's key. I mean, they can probably go anywhere in the country that they want. And they historically have been going to major markets, be it Houston, New Orleans, outside of Detroit, Baltimore, to name a few. But they're really intrigued with Lawrence and the way we approach events. I mean, I think basically if we tell people we'll do something, we do it, and that means a lot. It goes it allows us to be successful.
Well, Bob, I definitely, when you talk youth sports, you know, now you are talking in the family, you know, and if it is a travel, because you are going Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, depending on the sport and the tournament, and making Lawrence that destination location and how rich of a history it is, I think that's a lot of exciting opportunities exist for our community.
I agree. I mean, I'm very passionate at what I do, and so I see the opportunities, and obviously the individuals that I mentioned earlier, starting with the Schwattas to elect officials and City Hall, they also see the opportunities, because those groups that I bring in, I put them in front of our elected officials, mm-hmm. and city staff, because I want them to hear what I'm hearing. Because, I mean, I don't want them to be drinking just my Kool-Aid. I want them to be
absolutely.
I want them to hear it directly from the source. I think it has bode well for our efforts.
Well, that's great. Well, Bob, we're coming back here. We're going to take a break here . I'm Mark Kern with the Lawrence Business Magazine Show.
News and talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN. Let's continue with the Lawrence Business Magazine Show right here on 1320 KLWN. Once again, here's Mark Kern.
Well, welcome back. If you're just tuning in, we're sitting here with Bob Sanner in the Lawrence Convention and Visitors Bureau and Adam Mills, the CEO of Source Endurance, and Derek Helms and myself. Well, gentlemen, back to the tour. Really exciting things for the Lawrence community with the West Side Sports Village and everything that, hopefully in our near future that we're going to be able to experience. Adam, tell me, as a cyclist and then also working with the Tour of Lawrence, tell me the logistics and the staffing and putting this all together.
To put it in one word, it's impressive. There are everything that you see when you go up towards the race has to be placed there by hand. Every barricade, every hay bale, every piece of caution tape is all put there by somebody. And Bob and all the people on the board done a great job of getting the volunteers and finding the labor and the manpower to make all that happen. It's no small feat, and probably a few hundred man hours to set up and then a few hundred man hours to tear down, and then you do it all again on Sunday.
Bob, you'd mentioned this is, from your perspective, this is your biggest event of the year. This is your,
It's the most time-consuming you know, whether the rate of return is where we want it to be right now, probably not. But again, we're looking ahead. But we're willing to make that type of investment. And I wanted to build upon Adam's comments about the staffing and volunteering. Lauren James, who's our volunteer coordinator. I mean, her goal, and this is her, I think, her fourth year. She's been doing it since day one, so we haven't we haven't driven her away. So that's good. Okay, so I guess we must be nice to her. But I mean, she we have 400 volunteer spots that she tries to fill every year, and with the help of Red Dogs Group, the Lawrence Bicycle Club, to Jim Whitaker's Velotech Group. I mean, I could go on and on and on with the various groups who have John Stewart and his staff at Heartland Community Health Center, off the wall, off the chain with promoting and turning over every rock to find someone who's willing to give us 3 or 4 hours a day, because as Adam says, it takes a lot to set up and tear down, but it takes a lot of man hours to safely secure the three race venues, basically on Saturday, Sunday. We're talking about from 8:30 till 7 p.m. And the campus race, which is not quite, you know, 4 miles, is, I think it's 3.92 miles. And you look at that map, I mean, not only campus, but we send them down Missouri to 9th, up to Emory, through West Hills, then down to the University Place neighborhood, which is off Sunnyside, and to Illinois to 17th to Indiana. Every turn, our goal is to have eyes on the course at all times. And so just think of the turns and the bends that the campus race has. And
well, and it's every driveway, every crosswalk, every corner has to be seen.
Not only turns, think of the hills. You know, with how steep and quick some of those are. You know, we were talking a little bit about, you know, they're not the long, but they're really short.
Right, the hills are short enough. There's enough climbing to where the climbers will do well, but the climbing is short, so it's very explosive. So you may think that they're going uphill, they're going to be going slow, but that won't be the case by any means, at all levels. You'd be surprised how fast a bike racer racing will go, even up a hill. And then going down the hill, like right by, I believe it's Murphy Hall, the steep downhill, I would say it'd be normal for the races to be going around 50 miles per hour around that sweeping turn, every lap. And at 50 miles an hour, you step out on the curb, and you better be in a hurry, or you better turn the other way, because it's really fast.
My kids, this is probably not what you want to promote, but my kids go for the crash. I'm like, is someone going to crash yet, Dad? I tell them, you'll know when it happens. You'll hear it.
It's a part of the race, and it's a part of the race that can't be avoided. Well, it can be avoided, but it always happens, and it's something that as a racer you never want to be involved in, but as a spectator, I don't blame people for wanting to watch it. And the ones at nighttime are fun, too, because there's sparks.
Oh,
The pedals hitting that.
Oh yeah,
sure.
Just a pro tip. Call that one.
Well, so, Adam, are you suggesting we go twilight one of these years? Or
it's a thought. We'll talk about that one later.
24 hours of Lawrence race.
Hey, you know, in from a cyclist, in one, the love and the joy of the sport, but the purse for the weekend. I mean, how much cash and prizes are we looking at?
Well, overall, I think we're about 21,000 in cash payouts. And we may, on the preems, and I'll let Adam explain what preems are for those who are curious, but there are giveaways on Sunday during the criterium. And I think value-wise, I think we're probably around $1,500 either in prizes or cash. So, and we've tried to set up the payouts so they're deep. So if I think maybe it's like 15 deep in certain races. So if you're out of if you out of contention for the first five, there's still a reason to come in to finish, so at least get some gas money to go home or, sure. or pay for your entry fee. So we try to be fair and equitable in the distribution of the prize money. And why don't you talk about the premiums real quick?
So a preem lap is seen in a criterium, so mostly on Sunday's race, where the announcer will ring a large bell on the finish line, and basically it's a one-lap race. So the first person around the next lap will win whatever the prize is, and they can be anywhere from $25 cash to a set of racing tires, to maybe gift certificates at local spots, or more cash than $25. I've been in races where they have had $1,000 preems. I've been in a race where they drove up in an armored car and took a bag of $100 bills out, and it was something like $3,000 for a one lap preem. It was pretty impressive. And then they have crowd preems where everybody just throws in money into a hat and they'll call that, and that's usually a couple $100. So even if you don't win the race and you can win a preem, you can still make a decent day out of it by having some money in your pocket to go out with that evening or just to get yourself home.
And Adam, when the preems come around, do some riders have to make a decision as far as whether to to win the race or maybe
win the lap?
I mean, is there some strategy involved with that? Wouldn't you say?
There is strategy involved, and every team and every individual kind of has their own game plan. And with any game plan, there's always, we'll call it audibles. And if you find yourself, I really want to win the race, but this is a $500 preem, all of a sudden you start to think about it. And it can change the outcome of the race. And if you get a good announcer, like I believe we have for the event, the announcer can make the preems come at a place that will set up the drama a little bit more for the race and keep it more interesting for everybody.
Speaking of the announcer, we're talking about John Leffler, who comes down from Nebraska. He's been with us since Collegiate Road Nationals, so he's become a fixture of cycling for Lawrence. But he is I think one of the better announcers in the country. But what I really like about him is he'll educate. So for your listeners, if you're not quite sure what cycling is all about, gives a chance, come down, to the criterium on Sunday and just listen to John, because John will educate you. He will explain to you what's going on, who's doing what, and kind of give you a little insight. So you'll walk away with an appreciation for cycling and a greater understanding. So that's just a little suggestion there.
Well, great stuff. I'm just getting the signal here. We're going to take our last break, and then we'll come back and wrap up the Lawrence Business Magazine show.
9:53 at the News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN. Continuing with the Lawrence Business Magazine show, once again, Mark Kern.
Welcome back. We're talking a little tour of Lawrence this morning. And Derek, you had jump in here and...
Well, I think one of the biggest things, especially with the business aspects, is this tour of Lawrence is 3 days, and basically Friday night and all day Sunday, downtown Lawrence is overtaken and flooded by rainbow-clad, tight clothes-wearing, shaved-leg people on bikes. And in the past, the tour or the races have sort of taken place on the 4th of July, so downtown Lawrence businesses were probably not going to be open anyway, and you have mentioned, Bob, that this is the first year where the races downtown are on a business day, where businesses plan to be open. Can you just speak to the relationship the tour has with downtown Lawrence and your hopes that the businesses can get some new customers and attract some dollars?
Yes, I will. The criterium has always been on a Sunday, so that we haven't really changed or deviated from the day of the week. What's different this year is the 4th is on a Wednesday, and so we couldn't really follow the 4th, because that would mean that the sprints and the campus race would have been on either side of the 4th, And so we in order to be on campus, the campus race needs to take place on Saturday. But to answer your question, I'm pleased and that the downtown businesses are supportive of the Tour of Lawrence. I know they probably tolerate us. Some of us tolerate us. Others embrace us. I like to see it as kind of a give and take. You know, this may be one event that doesn't get you excited, but the next one I bring to town hopefully will. So so I don't think we have down there is not in my backyard type of attitude. I think they overall it's attitude. What if it's good for downtown, then it's good for me. Obviously, the businesses that do benefit from the tour would be any restaurant, any place that sells like snacks or ice cream or cold drinks. They like to hang out on the patios, on the sidewalks between races or during races, and so again, it's I've never received a negative comment about the tour. So I hope that continues.
Well, I think we have to make clear that the 2-hour parking lots are all open. I mean, none of those are closed.
Only on the New Hampshire side, one or two will be closed. We don't even close the New Hampshire street parking garage, even though the parking garage is inside of the race route. But what we do is that you can travel down 9th Street off from Rhode Island, and then there will be an officer there at that intersection that will allow you to cross New Hampshire when it's safe to do so, so you can get in and out of the parking garage. So we've really worked hard to make it work for downtown. All the parking other than the surface lot next to the AT&T building on that corner, that's the only one that is permanently closed. But we try to make it easy and to keep all the what I call the west side park surface lots open. So most of the flow of traffic is from the west. So we want to make it easy for people to find a place to park and come down, because not only do you have the competitive races, but we really haven't talked about the Mass Street Mile. That starts off Sunday. That's a running event, a community event. We have the kids' bike race at noon. Again, that's you show up, register, it's age appropriate distances. There will be a kids or a activity area with some rides and inflatables. Again, on 9th Street between Vermont and Mass. So we. Because one thing, last year we had like 44 local riders of the 667. So we do the community type events to bring the community to a what is basically a non-community race.
Well, Bob, we got about 90 seconds left. Give us the calendar from Friday night to Sunday night.
Okay, street sprints start at 7 o'clock on New Hampshire.
What are the street sprints?
It's a 200 meter basically level sprint. It's just they start at 7th in New Hampshire, and they just fire down towards 8th Street. So it's 200 meters. It's I think Adam coined the phrase a couple of years ago. It's basically NASCAR, okay, but on bicycle.
It's a drag race.
It's a drag race. Okay.
And there's beer being served.
Yeah, absolutely. It's we're permitted. So consumption is legal during and after the race. After the sprints, I predict the sprints will be about 1 hour long. So Twang Daddy's live music afterwards. Sunday, we're up on campus. Circuit race, which is, like I said, 4 miles.
Saturday, you're on campus.
Saturday, I'm sorry.
Yep.
4 mile race. We're back downtown on Sunday for the crit, which is a 1 mile loop course. So that's tourlords.com for more information.
Very good. Want to thank Bob Sanner, Adam Mills, Derek Helms for the Lawrence Business Magazine show, Redefining the Concepts of Business. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. And you're listening to the News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.